Welcome to Faith Walking Conversations. In this episode, Marcos León and a group of faith walkers share a time of meditation and learning about practices that can nurture your soul. This week, they focus on the practice of gratitude. This conversation was originally recorded in May of 2020. We want to remind you that Faith Walking's mission is to make wholeness possible for individuals, communities, and the world. Visit us at www.faithwalking.us. Join this conversation. I'm looking through the eyes of love. I'm gonna look twice at you until I see the Christ in you. I'm gonna look twice at you. Today we're gonna talk about gratitude. Actually, a great discipline. It really feels like a consolation to think about gratitude for me, especially in times where there's so many challenges like the times that we are living. So I'd like to start with this quote from Anne Boskamp: "Thanksgiving creates abundance." And it is such a really good reminder. You know, that really Thanksgiving creates abundance. Sometimes it creates where there is not. I remember this little book that I was reading. I forget. We were listening actually to an audiobook in a trip. We were driving with my kids in one of those road trips, and we were reading. I might not remember exactly the name of the book, but it was a book about making a stone soup. And probably you have read this. It's a great book for kids, and how these two travelers get into this town and they are hungry, but nobody wants to offer anything. You know, they ask and nothing. So they decide to have a different strategy, and they start saying, invite all the people's town to have the soup that they were going to cook. It was a stone soup. And you know, the story is fun because everybody comes, so yeah, stone soup, it's going to be great. And we're so grateful, we want all of us to come. And little by little, people start adding a little ingredient to the stone soup. It was just actually water with stone. And it ends being a great soup. And the lesson is the generosity that takes place when something changes in the people in the town, right? And anyway, gratitude as a spiritual practice, as something good for our soul. It helps us to take care of our soul. So you can have so many great resources about gratitude. So here you have my perspective about it. You know, there's a lot of good material written about gratitude. I don't think I can be grateful enough for all that has been written about gratitude, and I just want to offer my thoughts and my approach to gratitude as a spiritual practice. So I think it's important because it somehow aligns your heart, and I use the realigns your heart. It centers your heart. It reboots your heart. I have this picture of my phone, our phones sometimes, now that everybody has a smartphone, and sometimes it's acting out, or your computer. Right, it's acting out and things are not working, and here you are. And then what is the first advice of those non-technical people like me? Reboot it. turn it off. And something in that process brings back into kind of, I will use the language of faith walking, into the design, intended design of that. And I think gratitude does that to our hearts. It actually aligns our hearts to places where our hearts need to be aligned. I think that gratitude creates a space for worship. There are a few psalms that you can find with this, and you know, enter His presence with thanksgiving, for example. It's a classic one, right? But I think that something changes in our hearts when we consider what we have received, when we choose to be grateful. That is so easy to slip into, to fall into worship and say thank you. And we see that also in the Psalms once and again. I think it brings a greater perspective. you know, we are looking for the lack of, or for the limitation of what is not there. And yeah, there are some things that we don't have, that we would like to have, but when we actually change, you know, the perspective, the things that we have, we might discover that we have a lot more, right, that we want. There's this tendency in the human heart, in my heart, to be excited about something that I received just for a few moments, you know, a few weeks, a few months. I am quick to forget the excitement of something new that I receive. It is part of our nature. It doesn't mean that it's the greatest part of our nature, but coming back to remember what we have received brings a bigger perspective. And I think that it simply heals your soul, my soul. You know, gratitude brings healing. Healing to our souls. And I think that it is at the very heart of the Trinity. You know, I love the picture. You have seen the icon, you know, of the Trinity. And that little, they believe it was a mirror in the painting or in the icon, right? And that mirror was supposed to, you can see your face. It's very little. And the idea of we are invited. It is so generous. It is so great, the relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not about this little club of holy people. It is actually the gratitude of the Father for the Son for the Father, the Son for the Spirit for the Son, and all this honoring, surrendering, losing their giving, kind of losing their own identities to the other one, but being received and being reformed or spoken into existing by the other. And there is so much gratitude at that kind of relationship. It's a relationship that is healing. It has a great direction. So those are some of my thoughts of why gratitude is helping, right? So defining what is gratitude might be very challenging or maybe simple, right? A little kid might give his or her own definition. But I chose this quote of Thomas Merton. Merton explains things and says things in ways that are so deep. I mean, that's what he says. To be grateful is to recognize the love of God in everything he has given us. And he has given us everything. Every breath we draw is a gift of his love. Every moment of existence is a grace, for it brings with it immense graces from him. Gratitude, therefore, takes nothing for granted, is never unresponsive, is constantly awakening to new wonder and to praise for the goodness of God. For the grateful person knows that God is good. Not by hearsay, but by experience. And that is what makes all the difference. I love several aspects of this. You know, first, that everything has been given. You know, we have this illusion that is ours. It was ours. It was our right. But the truth is that we don't have anything. Everything is given. And we won't have anything but our souls, right? That's the only thing that we're going to bring to God at some point. And every breath, you know, is grace. And when we are present to that, it is amazing how it is impossible not to respond. You know, gratitude is not passive, or this attitude of gratitude is just a passive. It is responsive. It is a cycle. It is relationship, and gets into this praise for the goodness of God, you know. And it's an experiential for sure. And it makes all the difference. So some, you can go and go deep in different aspects of what Merton is writing. But I think it is very deep. And we need to understand that this is a good place for us to be. It's good for our souls. So I have chosen, I think, 4 passages of the scripture. You can find a lot more. That is like, okay, where do you want to start, right? But this is my take on things of gratitude. So this Psalm 103, 1 through 5, has been in my heart since I came to know Christ. You know, I came to Christ when I was 30 years old. So it had a lot of consciousness of know Christ in my life and a lot of awareness of a life without God, right? So this was a very good and it's a good reminder. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. This is the version, the New Living Translation. Probably not the one that you have memorized. If you have memorized, it's not the one that I've memorized, but I like changing translations sometimes. It makes it alive. But it's a reminder to my own heart, to my own soul. Hey, soul, don't forget. And you know, more times than the ones I would like to admit, I have to do this work with my own soul. Hey, soul, remember. Remember all the things that God has done for you. And you might have your own story, your own moments. It becomes really a testimony, a witnessing, a bearing witness of something that God has done. These are the things that are listed in Psalm 103, and it covers a good bunch, right? For a person who lived without God for 30 years, those four or five reminders are pretty powerful. The forgiveness, the healing of the things that I could not heal, the redemption from death in the moments when I felt that I was truly dying in some aspect of my life, and a crown, love and mercy, you know, a new life, and finally the filling my heart with good things. So this is kind of ice cream on top, right? So there is all the forgiveness and all of that, the kale, the salad and all the food that we say, well, that's very healthy, it's good, but you know, at the end, is there something that is bringing satisfaction? Yes, there is also satisfaction in the heart of God for you. How can I not think of gratitude? How can I not reset our hearts to gratitude when we are able to think what God has done? This is another passage. This is King David, First Chronicles. He is by the end of his kingship. You know, all the adventures of King David are pretty amazing. A man after the very heart of God. And he has finished kind of receiving all the offerings of the people. Great place, great time in the kingdom. Peace is there. And he is aware that David is aware that he will not be able to build this temple. That is his desire. You know, God has told him that David won't do that, but his son will do it. So David is a good father, a little bit an over-functioner, maybe. He gets into trying to get everything ready for his son to be able to build the temple. And he asks people to bring offerings, and they receive more than enough. So I remember the first time that I read this prayer of David, it resonates in my heart, admiring gratitude in the heart of the king. So this is what he says. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hands. This is like, how can I give you what you... It's like my son asking me a dollar to give me a dollar as a gift. I don't know, something like that, right? We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like shadow, without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hands, and all of it belongs to you. So here you have great perspective, right? Great. It's not a great project. Our fundraiser was really good. there's something deeper going on in the heart of the king, right? This is not about, oh my gosh, a temple is going to be done. This is not about anything that is material, even though he goes through it, he incarnates through his offerings. The heart finds a place of actually letting go and saying, nothing of this is mine. I'm just participating in this amazing adventure. You give me so I can give you. Right? And there's such a joy and worship. You see, there's something, I would put it in a good way, something naked in the heart of the king about the joy and love and excitement that he has. And there is even a revelation that I think is capturing the words, but it goes beyond the words and the project and the temple. So gratitude and basal of that. Another scripture that is good to my heart to remember, Mark 8, this is Jesus and the one of the miracles of the feeding. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took 7 loaves, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. He gave them to his disciples, who distributed the bread to the crowd. A few small fish were found too. So Jesus also blessed these and told the disciples to distribute them. They ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. So, in case you miss it, and you didn't, but Jesus, well, yeah, you may say, well, Jesus is Jesus, right? But think of it, Jesus is thankful. He breaks the bread and gives thanks. So there is something at the very root of the miracle. You know, before the miracle, 7 laws for thousands of people. How in the world is this going to happen? Of course, it's Jesus. He knows. But think about it. Yeah, you know, I'm always called by this idea that he's able to give thanks for less than enough at that moment, right? I'm giving thanks for this that is not enough. And in the breaking, you can approach the passage in different ways, but there is something about gratitude that is present there. The gratitude in the heart of Jesus, the context of the miracle, the context of abundance, the context of 7 large baskets of leftover food. Can you imagine? And gratitude. It is the work of God, but there is some gratitude that somehow it is the human part in the space of this miracle. Another passage, this is the paraphrasis, the message. This is the Apostle Paul in Philippians. I'm glad in God, far happier than you will ever guess. Happy that you're again showing such a strong concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me. You just had no chance to show it. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I found the recipe for being happy, whatever full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, whatever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Contentment, right? You cannot separate that contentment from a larger perspective of gratitude. Paul can be content because there's something more important than whatever it is that he needs or he doesn't need. So there's something that has more authority than his need and something that has more authority than his abundance. So I will get lost in both. I get lost in my needs. Oh my gosh, I don't have. Or I may get lost in my celebration. Oh my gosh, this is the best time ever. There's not going to be anything better than this. But there is something about a perspective that is greater that what brings to the heart is gratitude. And it produces contentment. That is what Paul is talking about. So then there you have a healthy pictures of heart, at least the three ones or four, if you consider the Psalm 2, is the picture of a heart that is able to see beyond circumstances because it is grateful, because the most important thing has been already given, is always given. And I think that makes me desire to get to that place of gratitude. What do I need to do to get there? So I want to approach this idea of gratitude in three directions, right, that are very helpful, at least for me. There is an element or a perspective of gratitude in me, right? How this operates, what are my comments about this gratitude in me, how it works. There is a gratitude through me. You know, how can I be a conduit of gratitude, and gratitude for me, that this is the other side, you know, when I am the recipient of somebody is expressing gratitude to me. Anyway, so gratitude in me. Gratitude in me, it changes the crazy cycle of my heart into a loving cycle. It's like an antidote. So I have a quick story that I remember a few years ago, actually almost 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, before we moved, we are living in... My family and I were living in a house that it was, we were house parents, and we lived with a group of ladies who were pregnant. It was a pregnancy home that was a ministry, right? They would not have where to go, and we lived up to six ladies who were pregnant. So it was kind of a very interesting season of our lives serving. And, it had all kinds of colors and all kinds of emotions. But can you imagine big table dinner, lots of people, pregnant ladies, my gosh. And you have all kinds of colors. Again, not necessarily they were believers or Christians, or they came from different backgrounds. But usually they were there because they didn't have where else to go. And some of them were not there or were not pregnant for the first time. So we have, I think the oldest was 40 plus years old, and then you have, you know, very young women, girls actually having babies. And I remember how hard it was at some point, to get home with your own life, right, with your own job and with your own reality, to a place in which at the table you have that crazy cycle. You know what the crazy cycle is? It looks for me this way. I don't have enough, or, you know, this is not good because you are not this good, or you are not doing, you didn't do this. That's household. It's, you know, you didn't clean your room. Why you didn't clean your room? And it's a cycle. I didn't clean my room because she didn't do this well, because she told me what. And it's really a cycle of craziness and unsatisfaction and blame, and really, place. How we can get out of it. And I remember a pretty good gift received by God is how to change this. I remember practicing being grateful, expressing out loud something that I was grateful for one of the ladies that was with us, right? So I will intentionally think of one of them and think of something that is true, that I was actually grateful. You cannot lie. This is not a cheap trick, right, to get people. It has to be real. So I will think, but there's always meaning, right? And I can find a good meaning and say, by the way, Carmen, thank you for cooking. This is excellent. I saw that you really put effort and this is excellent. Something like that. I will try to find something to be expressed. So gratitude is like love. If it is not expressed, I can dare to say that it's useless. You know, love and gratitude need to be expressed, right? Secret love. That sounds like a cheap soap opera, right? A content for a soap opera, secret love. Love needs to be expressed. I need somehow to say, expressing intention. So I chose to exercise gratitude, and I could see how that comment, like if my heart or the conversation was going in the crazy cycle, it will stop a little bit and just turn a little bad because a little bit because the other one say, oh yeah, and the way yesterday, thank you for cleaning or doing that extra chore that you didn't have to do and picking up that. Oh yeah, and thank you. And suddenly here we were, not in the best dinner ever, but in a very different dinner. So anyway, sorry for the story. It's a long story, but gratitude does that. The next time that you are a little bit angry with somebody, you know, usually are the people that are closer to us, physically or emotionally, just start thinking, and you have to choose that. What is what I'm grateful for? And feel it. You know, when you're moving a wheel, right? You know, there's some momentum. To stop that and go to the different direction, it's going to take some effort, right? Some effort. And it's going to take some extra effort to go to the different direction. But if you allow yourself the few seconds that it takes to move your heart, to make your heart think of gratitude, you will see what I'm saying. It will change the direction where things are going. It helps you focus on the positive. This is fascinating. Guys, I don't know if you have heard, or, you know, there is research in the brain. You know, and I think I mentioned this in the past. Our brains are like Velcro for the negatives. Something negative sticks in the brain. It just gets there so easily. You have a speaking engagement or something, and 10 people give you feedback, and 8 people say, thank you, it was great. Thank you for doing, thank you for preparing. And 2 people say, yeah, well, you know, you could have done that better. Guess what are the comments that are going to stay with you that week? Those 2, because the negative sticks in your brain. We are biased, sadly, for what is negative. That's when news are negative, you know. Those are the good news are like Teflon. So there's research that we need at least 15 seconds of focusing on the positive to let the positive imprint something in our brains. 15 seconds. So when you're grateful and you allow that as a practice to imprint, oh yes, that was great. Oh yeah, stay there, linger there, be grateful there. You are actually imprinting positive in your brain. And that's what you want. You don't want to see the negative. If you do that, I mean, how is that working? You know, I'm always, it's like that mom that says, the kid says, how did I do it? Well, you did it great, but you could have done this better. You know, it's like, oh, okay, well, thank you. No, it's never good. It's never good. Anyway, gratitude helps you to focus on the positive. It brings healing. It does bring healing to my soul, to my relationships, to my worship. When I'm not grateful, that crazy cycle becomes meaning, and that meaning becomes actually your own reality. So have you heard about that? That it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm not talking about anything weird, but when you train your senses to look for the negative and not the positive, guess what are you going to find? The negative all the way. Your brain is trained to like look for what is missing, what is lacking, and not for what it is. And that eventually is going to, like a little plant that is not receiving water or sun, is going to wither. Your soul is going to get sick. When you do the opposite, healing will come to your heart. And obviously, gratitude in my own heart reduces my anxiety because it really brings a whole different approach. There is a research, I forgot to actually bring that to this conversation, but there is research about the gratitude. There are people, counselors and psychologists that have done studies on the brain to see what parts of the brain fire up when people are grateful. And it's pretty consistent. That gratitude could be, and it is actually, one of the alternatives that we have to reduce our anxiety. So all of these are things, helpful things about gratitude in you. What about gratitude through me? You know, I chose this time ago, and I have to come back. I have to be honest, I have to come back. Actually, I was thinking of this weekend. Time ago, as I was practicing Sabbath and trying to learn to do Sabbath, I decided to start a practice. This is a spiritual practice, Sabbath spiritual practice. That was writing a letter or a note or a card, but it's handwritten. It's not an email. It's not a text. It is written with my hand. I have horrible handwriting, but writing a letter to somebody, I mean, two or three people, every Sabbath, expressing my gratitude for some. It has to be real. This is not about just becoming fake. I cannot tell you the impact of that in me and the rippling impact of that in people that I start writing. Friends, family members. I mean, God, what I'm grateful for. It's like the examining, okay? I'm grateful for this person. And it became so part of me that I will be aware of something good of somebody, and I will make a note in my agenda or whatever. I want to write that person. So it is the thank you note. My wife is really good at thank you notes, you know, after every gift. That's good. I don't yet have the thank you note practice. But if you add it as a spiritual practice, I believe that you are able actually to bring some level of healing to the world. All the conversations that stir or that sparkle after me sending that letter, and you know, 2 weeks later is a snail mail, all right? Somebody will give me a call, send me a text, and tell me things like, oh, you don't know how timely, how much I was broken that day or looking for, and I'm not any kind of prophet or any kind of anything, right? I just was expressing gratitude. As simple as that, I believe that the Lord uses that to speak, right? To speak through us, even if we don't have any idea what's going on in the life of other people, right? When I choose to be grateful, it reflects something about God, for sure. Have you ever thought that God is grateful for you? Have you ever considered or dare to think, is God grateful for me? What did I do for God? Can God be grateful for my life? Well, it's hard. This is a long shot, right? But what if I ask you or you ask me, am I grateful for my son, my 5-year-old son? Oh my gosh, well, of course. But what did he do? He doesn't clean very much. Hey, but I'm grateful because there's love and there's something in his smile, in his hug, and in his, when he chooses me, whatever that means, that fills my heart. And I just wonder if we dare to think that God might be grateful for us. Little us. So when you and I reflect gratitude, I think we're practicing something special. We bless, we create a space for love, we inspire faith. And there's a great picture also, I don't know if you have watched or have seen this, watched this move of Mr. Just lost the name. Mr. Edwards, Neighborhood, I forget right now the name, the movie is Tom Hanks, right? I didn't grow up with this. But this is a famous character. He passed not long ago with this program for kids, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? So the movie was a hit, great actor, Tom Hanks. There's a moment in the movie, has some elements of truth and about the relationship that he has in the movie. I don't want to ruin it if you haven't watched the movie, but there's a moment that he's talking with this man who is broken, has a broken heart, and they are in a restaurant, and I love how they portray that little moment and say, you know what, would you do something with me? You know, Mr. Rogers, there you go. Would you do something with me? He speaks so slowly. Would you do something with me? Very slowly. And he say, yeah, this is like a spiritual practice that I do often. Would you stay quiet with me for a minute? And in that minute, just think of all the people that have loved you into being. Please think of all the people who have loved us into being. And there is this moment of silence that probably they take, a whole minute in the movie. But it's a beautiful reminder of that gratitude, even unspoken, producing something in my heart, in your heart, in the silence of just being grateful. In the movie, they make a little great aspect because they in that minute, everybody around the restaurant also becomes silent. And they did it very well. Anyway, you can tell that there is an element of gratitude that I like, right? Gratitude through you or through me sets a mindset of abundance instead of a mindset of scarcity. Probably you're very familiar to it. We live with a mindset, and actually this, maybe all the time in history, we can choose between, oh my gosh, there is not going to be enough for tomorrow. There's not going to be enough. We're not going to have enough. My gosh, we have to protect. We have to gather. We have to hide. We have to defend. Whatever it is that we do with the mindset of a scarcity, not enough. And it has a consequence. And the alternative is a mindset of abundance. Jesus being grateful for 7 loaves of bread that somehow multiply the little that we have. Our mindsets usually determine the ways that we behave and react, the ways that we see the world, of course. Gratitude through me strengthens my own gratitude, creates more gratitude. This is a great element, you know. It's like obedience fosters obedience. Gratitude fosters gratitude. This is like a very good weed in the sense of, you know, that you planted and it keeps growing. So you want more gratitude in your life, express gratitude. Plant gratitude. Speak gratitude. Be a blesser by seeking, thinking, asking God to give you eyes to see what is good and being grateful and express it. Gratitude for me. So what happens? This is has been a very good learning for me. Okay, gratitude in me. Gratitude through me. What about gratitude for me? I don't know if that happens for you, but it's very hard for me to take a compliment. It has been very hard for me to believe that somebody can be grateful for me. And this is, it has all the faith walking learning in this. We learn all these kind of meanings and all these stories. We made those stories in our first formation. But when people are grateful to me, express gratitude to me, it helps me see more clearly what is important. I've learned that by listening. My wife, sometimes she's able to express with clarity what she's grateful for me. And it allows me to do many things. And one of those is to see what is important. Sometimes what is important, what I think is important, is not important. I don't know if you have been surprised with that fact. And there are other things that are important, that are really important. They made a video not long ago about moms. It was Mother's Day. And they make a video about moms. And I think they ask moms, different, you know, young kids, so how are you as a mom? Or something like that, you know, question that was. And they will say, yeah, well, they will go into a version of, my gosh, there's some shame in me because I would like to be a better mom, especially moms of little kids, you know, when you are in that time that is so demanding. And there, it was a great video because they will try to say, I love being a mom, but I'm so bad at it, right? There's a version of that and tears in some of the questions. And then they put this, the kids of the same moms, right? And they ask, so tell us what you like about your mom. And the responses of the kids were so fresh and so natural and so real. Completely, the kids didn't connect. Where here's the mom being so ashamed by some things, and the kid talking about the best thing of mom is this other thing. It was so healing to see that. So it's such a good picture of seeing what is important. I need to learn also to receive and to be aware, receive comments that are real, gratitude. So it helps me to see what is important in me and to me, and not get stuck in what I think is important. I'm not saying that I have to focus on being a good dad, but when I listen to the compliment and I ask God to bring some revelation, there's a sovereign aspect of that. Gratitude for me challenges me to believe what God has given me. You know, I don't believe it. For many years, I didn't believe, oh yeah, you'll do this well. It was just a fluke. It was not really me, right? Without going into the prideful side, it was the other extreme, you know, that is selfishness at the same time, or pride. I don't believe that is for God. So it is a blessing to receive gratitude when somebody points to me something that is true about me. I cannot see myself without your help. And sometimes that person who expresses gratitude to me is pointed to something that God wants to show me. It creates a space for God to reveal areas that need healing. And that was my whole struggle of wondering, so why is that so hard for me to receive a compliment? What is so hard for me to believe that this person can be actually grateful for me? Creates humility in me, because at the end of the day, I know that it's not about me. And I don't know you, but I haven't ever found anything bad about humility. I mean, yeah, not false humility, but real humility. You never go wrong with humility. That is a path, a pattern that always takes you closer to God. Okay, let's close with this. Steve Macchia, he says, when we see all of life as a gift from the hand of the Creator God, we develop a responsiveness to all things, good or hard, with an attitude of gratitude. I love that. I want that responsiveness. Gratitude heals the broken heart. It binds up divided home, and it bridges any relational gap before us. Gratitude strengthens the bonds of love between us and our worship of God, within our marriages and our families, among our friendships, and even in the core of our personal sense of well-being. Great, very greatly explain the healing. Suggestions to practice gratitude. Choose gratitude. For some reason, it doesn't come naturally at the beginning. You have to choose it. There is where willfulness is necessary to start the practice, to start the movement. The effort is to choose it. Practice gratitude in the moment. Have you been able to stop a single moment? Now is spring. There are so many moments to stop and say, in this very moment, everything that is needed has been provided. So in this very moment, I can be completely grateful because nothing is missing. Don't worry, you're going to hear your inner voice saying, but what about tomorrow? What about what about yesterday? This moment. Gratitude in this moment. Nothing is missing. My worship is perfect because I have no lack. I shall not want. I do not want. Practice gratitude in the moment. It's kind of a flexing the muscle of gratitude. Write a letter expressing gratitude. You know, it might be the thing that I was doing to friends. What about a letter to God and to yourself? Have you ever been able to express gratitude to yourself? Write your narrative from a gratitude perspective. That's a great exercise. Start your prayer with gratitude. Fall into gratitude. This is also a little helpful tool. You know, sometimes we jump into asking. We jump into things. You know, worship or gratitude. Choose to start by saying thank you. And allow those few seconds to lead you into that. If you say, I've had a little more, I should be if I had a little more, I should be very satisfied. You make a mistake. If you are not content with what you have, you will never be satisfied if it were double. Spurgeon, very clearly. So let me stop there and dialogue, listen to your comments. What are you pressing? What is the dissonance? What is the resonance that you find in your heart as we talk about gratitude?
I'll share a little bit. I like, or I appreciate the fact that being grateful takes intentionality. And I think that you were saying that over the course of the discussion. And when we're intentional, it becomes easier. Like when you were sharing about how you write thank you notes on Sabbath as a way, I thought about how, or even in the home that you had for the pregnant women, that it creates a different mindset within yourself to start looking for the positive things that you see in the world or the positive things that you see in other people. And I don't know, I guess I both appreciated that and it also challenged me. Sometimes I think I'm doing well with gratitude. I enjoy going on a walk and feeling the cooler breeze and seeing things in that moment that are so beautiful to me. You know, practicing that in the midst of feeling down or discouraged is a little more challenging. but that's what I thought about, was just the intentionality of it is, and this, it, like you said, the spiritual discipline of what it is. And I also liked at the end where you talked about writing our narrative from a gratitude perspective. And wow, that would be amazing, because I've had a lot of challenges. I know all of us have challenges in life. Some really tough ones. And to be able to write it from a perspective of gratefulness, I'm sure it would remind me of all that God has done, because he has done so much and he continues to provide so much. So I hope to put that in practice.
Ah, Chris, that's great. I hope too that you will do it. Mm-hmm. The two quick things that come to mind is, one is that gratitude has to be honest, right? And it is not faking gratitude. That is not a practice. It is actually seeing. I can connect the idea of awareness. So do I have eyes to see what is positive in this? And I believe that that is a grace given by God. Now, I have to open my heart to it. Because if I keep looking only for the evidence of the lack, that's what I'm going to find. But it has to be honest. And there's a moment in which I might choose to be grateful without condition. That's a deep level. Even if things are not, I'm still here. I'm still choosing you. So the honesty of it, I think, is important. And the second idea that you mentioned that very well about the practice and writing the narrative. So you know what transforms us is not the knowledge and the information and knowing that gratitude is a great practice. What transforms us is actually when we choose to practice it. Experience is what transforms us. When we walk in those shoes, even if we walk imperfectly. So I like that a lot of what you say, Chris. Thanks.
Something I've found in my life is that when I'm intentional about gratitude to the Lord, it moves me to a place of faith. It's like a stepping stone. It expands my faith. And that opens up It's like it opens everything up.
Excellent. So true. Thank you so.
I think for me, the biggest challenge would be the gratitude for me and everything in that. Like working on humility in a good way, accepting what people say and when they say thank you. That's a real hard thing for me. I always come up against that and just want to run and hide. And so sometimes I won't even do things because I don't want the outcome. And so just that, getting stuck in that place where you don't do something because, like, if someone's grateful for it and says thank you, you can't accept that. And so it kind of goes around in a circle that you don't do it because you think that, and it's just just crazy. But that's just a big thing for me to work on, the whole accepting someone's thank you, that someone's grateful for something that I've done or who I am. It's a big one.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Michelle. Yeah, I relate, I resonate with that. And it's such a big journey, has been a journey for me. Somebody one time in a spiritual direction session read to me a passage, Sophoniah 3, I think, and the Lord will rejoice over you with singing. Oh my gosh. Something of that hit me. Is that possible? Somebody in me, something in me is unable to believe it. It was a great, great struggle. And yeah, thanks for sharing, Michelle. I think we can practice gratitude in those three ways. But doesn't mean for me to practice gratitude in me. Yes, to be grateful through me, to express gratitude and to me. You know, the voice of gratitude for me. What? And I wonder what the Lord can do in those spaces for our hearts. Thank you. Let me close our conversation with this prayer that is actually Habakkuk. It's not Habakkuk. Probably you're familiar with this passage, but when we choose gratitude, right? This is, again, the message, I think. Yeah. Habakkuk 3, maybe your prayer, maybe your decision today. Though the cherry trees don't blossom, and the strawberries don't ripen, till the apples are worm eaten and the wheat fields stunted, till the sheep pens are sheepless and the cattle barns empty, I'm singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God, counting on God's rule to prevail. I take heart and gain strength. I run like a deer. I feel like I'm king of the mountain. May this be so for us, in choosing our hearts. Thank you.
For more information about Faith Walking, visit www.faithwalking.us. We want to remind you that Faith Walking exists because of your financial support. Please consider giving at faithwalking.us/donate. Thank you for listening.
Until I see the Christ in you, till I'm looking through the eyes of love, till I'm looking through the eyes.